بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الناس معادن كمعادن الذهب والفضة خيارهم في الجاهلية خيارهم في الإسلام إذا فقهوا والأرواح جنود مجندة فما تعارف منها ائتلف وما تناكر منها اختلف رواه مسلم. In this hadith of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he reported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, people, human beings, are like the mines of gold and silver. They are like the mines of gold and silver. Those who are best during the time of Jahiliyyah will remain the best in the time of Islam, provided they have got the understanding of deen, إِذَا فَقُهُ وَالْأَرْوَاحُ جُنُودٌ مُجَنَّدًا. And the souls in the alim arwah, they were like troops of armies assembled together, congregated together. فَمَا تَعَارَفَ مِنْهَا اِئْتَلَفْ. And those souls that recognized each other in that realm, alim arwah, when all the souls were gathered, then those souls that recognized each other, then in this dunya also, they were inclined to one another. وَمَا تَنَاكَرَ مِنْهَا اِخْتَلَفْ. And those souls that were not inclined to one another, they were detached from one another, then in this world also, they had opposition, they had enmity. Two things have been mentioned in this hadith. The first one, people, human beings, are like mines. We find mines in this world. When a land is excavated, and then we will find deep down in those holes precious materials, minerals. And of course, sometimes you find things that are unworthy, they are worthless dirt. Rasulullah has mentioned that we have people, or people are like mines, like the mines of gold and silver. So when we excavate and we find in those mines, mines of gold, silver, we have coal, we have diamonds, and different types of material, different types of minerals. And these are all valuable. So exactly like that, if we probe into the life of each person, each human being, be he a Muslim or a non-Muslim, whether it is time of Jahiliyyah or not, each person has got some innate traits in him, some qualities, some characteristics. There are those that have very precious qualities in them. Somebody is very hospitable. He's very generous. He's a very soft person. He's a hard-working person. He's a very lovable person. So exactly like how in mines, when you dig deep down, you will find different types of minerals. Like that in each human being, you will find some good qualities in him. So in the time of Jahiliyyah, before embracing Islam, for example, the Quraysh, amongst the Quraysh there was the Banu Hashim family. So they had some prominence over the other families and tribes. They were known for their hospitality. They were known for their generosity. They had very, very good qualities. Now after embracing Islam, those who had prominence in the time of Jahiliyyah, people looked up to them. People would come to them and respect them. After accepting Islam, they should have no fear that this prominence will now be taken away from them, provided after embracing Islam, they understand deen, إِذَا فَقُهُ أَوْ فَقِهُ. When they have the faqahat of deen, they have the understanding of deen. It is so important to have knowledge, ilmi deen. When a person understands deen, then this will make those precious materials and minerals and those good qualities a person did have, it will make that shine even more. So those who had were non-Muslim before and now after accepting Islam, they should not have that fear that now they will lose the leadership, they will lose their prominence after embracing Islam. Islam will not snatch away the person's prominence. He will still maintain respect in society so long as he has the understanding of deen. So this is the meaning. خِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. That those who were the good in the time of Jahiliyyah, they will remain the good in Islam, إِذَا فَقُهُ, when they have the understanding of deen. So each person has some type of quality in him, some type of good trait in him, and this is what we need to probe and dig into each person to find the good quality in the man. And when you find the good quality in the man, you like the person for that particular quality, and therefore you can benefit from him because of that particular quality. Of course, there are those who have, like we have mines of gold and silver. Even this differs. So some are more precious than the others. They are better quality than the others. Some diamonds are more better and more precious than the others. So there are those who have various qualities in them, various good qualities. And these are the people we should be attracted to. And these are the people we should be sitting in their company and aspiring to become like them. The second part of the hadith, before we came into this world, all our souls were created and they were together. And the hadith is, junudun mujannada, like how we have troops of an army, all assembled in ranks, in files. Like that all the ruh, the arwah, had been gathered. And in fact, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a promise that Allah took from us in that particular state, which we have forgotten. When Allah asked, Alastu bi rabbikum? Qalu bala. Allah asked, am I not your Rabb, your Lord? And each soul then answered, believing and disbelieving souls, every single soul said, bala, yes indeed, O Allah, you are our Rabb. So in that state, those souls that were inclined to one another, then in this world also you will find them joining one another, inclined to one another, showing love, unity, muhabbat for one another. And in that condition, in that state, those souls that showed apathy for one another, disunity, they were detached from one another, then even in this world, they showed opposition. The next hadith is the lengthy hadith on Uwais al-Qarni, rahmatullahi alayhi, very great person. And in this particular hadith, he's known as Khairu Tabi'een, the best of the Tabi'een. He was not a Sahabi. He lived in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His desire was to come and meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because he was looking after his elderly mother, and there was nobody else to take care of her, he was instructed to remain there and look after his mother. And by the time when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or came to Medina, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already passed on. So he did not become a Sahabi, but he was a very pious servant. And we find in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, the second greatest of all the Sahaba, he is instructed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when you meet Uwais, you must ask Uwais to make dua on your behalf that Allah makes your maghfirat. So can you imagine the position of Uwais? Of course, he's not higher than Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, but this shows that despite him being lower in category, despite that, Rasulullah instructs Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala to ask him for dua. وعن أسير بن عمر ويقال ابن جابر وهو بضم الهمزة وفتح السين المهملة قال كان عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه إذا أتى عليه أمداد أهل اليمن. When the people, delegations of the Yemen would come to Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه, Umar is now Amir al-Mu'mineen, and when the delegations of Yemen would come to him, سألهم, he would ask them, أفيكم أويس بن عامر? Is there any person by the name of Uwais bin Amir? Uwais, the son of Amir, amongst you? حتى أتى على Uwais, فقال له, أنت Uwais بن عامر? Until one day he came across Uwais bin Amir, and he asked, are you Uwais bin Amir? قال نعم, he said yes. قال من مراد ثم من قرن, you are from the Murad tribe, and then from that tribe, the Qaran family. He said, yes. قَالَ فَكَانَ بِكَ بَرَصْ, did you have white skin or did you have a type of leprosy? White skin disease? فَبَرَأْتَ مِنْهُ إِلَّا مَوْضِعَ دِرْهَمْ, and then you were cured besides that small amount which was equivalent to a small coin, a small dirham. Allah had cured him, but as a sign that he is Uwais, one small portion of his body still had that white skin disease. قَالَ نَعْمِ, he said, yes. قَالَ لَكَ وَالِدَ, Did you have a mother? قال نعم. قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول. Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه tells him that I heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, يأتي عليكم أويس بن عامر مع عمداد أهل اليمن من مراد ثم من قرن كان به برص فبرأ منه إلا موضع درهم له والدة هو بها بر لو أقسم على الله لأبره فإن استطعت أن يستغفر لك فافعل. He says, I heard Rasul saying that this person, Uwais will come, Uwais, the son of Amir, and he will come with delegation from Yemen and from this tribe of Murad, and specifically from Qaran, and he'll have this white disease, white skin disease, and he will be cured except that amount of a dirham, and he'll have a mother to whom he'll be very dutiful and he'll be caring and obedient to. If he has to take an oath in the name of Allah regarding anything, Allah will help him to fulfill his promise. O Umar, if it's possible for you, that you ask him on your behalf to ask Allah for forgiveness, faf'al, do so. So Umar ibn Khattab narrates the hadith to Uwais, and then he requests him, he says, fastaghfir li, please, I am asking you to ask Allah for forgiveness on my behalf. Fastaghfir lahu. Then he does so. Faqalahu Umar, aina turid? Umar then asks him, remember he's Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's got power, he's got authority, he's got leadership. He says, where are you heading off to? So, قال الكوفة, he says, I'm going to Kufa. قال ألا أكتب لك إلى عاملها? Should I not write to the governor of Kufa to fix for you some type of stipend and some type of money from the Baytul Mal? It will help you. قال أكون في غبراء الناس أحب إلي. He says that I am low profile, nobody must know about me. That's more beloved to me. فلما كان من العام المقبل حج رجل من أشرافهم. The following year, some of the noble people, one man amongst the noble people had made Hajj, and he came. فوافق عمر, he meets عمر ibn al-Khattab رضي الله تعالى. Umar then asked him again, فسأله عن أويس. Tell me about أويس. قال تركته رث البيت قليل متاع. He asked him about his condition. So this man replies, I found him living a very simple life, hardly any possessions of this dunya. قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه narrates the same hadith to him that he had heard from رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأتي عليكم أويس بن عامر مع عمداد من أهل يمن من مراد ثم من قرن كان به برص فبرأ منه إلى موضع درهم له والدة هو بها بر لو أقسم على الله لا بره فإن استطعت أن يستغفر لك فافعل. So he narrates the same hadith to this person regarding Uwais bin Amir that you must ask him for forgiveness. فقال استغفر لي. So then this man goes to Uwais bin Amir and he tells him that make dua for my maghfirat. So Uwais then replies to this man who had just come from Hajj. قَالَ أَنْتَ أَحْدَثُ عَهْدًا بِسَفَرٍ صَالِحٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِي. You just came from Hajj, such a noble journey, a pious journey. You're a haji, you make dua for my maghfirat. And you're asking me to ask Allah Ta'ala for your forgiveness. So Uwais bin Amir then asked him, قَالَ لَقِيتَ Umar? Did you meet Umar on the way? قال نعم. He said yes. فاستغفر له. So Uwais bin Amir then made dua to Allah to forgive this person. ففطن له الناس. People then, of course, this news became viral. People began to know Uwais bin Amir. He is the person Rasulullah mentioned in the hadith that you must go and ask him for forgiveness. So people started coming in, came in droves. Then Uwais bin Amir was a very, very humble person. فانطلق على وجهه. He proceeded, he moved away from Kufa. رواه مسلم. In another hadith of Muslim, وفي رواية لمسلم أيضا عن أسير بن جابر رضي الله عنه أن أهل الكوفة وفدوا على عمر رضي الله عنه وفيهم رجل ممن كان يسخر بأويس. He said some of the people of Kufa came to Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه in delegations. Amongst them there was a person who used to mock Uwais and he used to belittle him. And now he comes in this delegation to Umar. فقال عمر, and suddenly Umar رضي الله عنه then mentions this hadith. هل ها هنا أحد من القرنيين? Is there any person from Murad and Qaran, from that area, from that tribe? فَجَأَ ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ. The same man who used to mock Uwais, he presents himself. فَقَالَ عُمَرَ إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَدْ قَالَ إِنَّ رَجُلًا يَأْتِيكُمْ مِنَ الْيَمَنِ يُقَالْ لَهُ أُوَيْسِ لَا يَدَعُوا بِالْيَمَنِ غَيْرَ أُمٍّ لَهُ. That a man will come to you from Yemen, his name is Uwais, and he will not leave besides his elderly mother. That's the only person he has in his family. قَدْ كَانَ بِهِ بَيَاضٌ. He had this white skin disease. فَدَعَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى, he made dua to Allah. فَأَذْهَبَهُ. Allah Ta'ala removed it from him. Allah cured him. إِلَّا مَوْضِعَ الدِّينَارِ أَوْ بِدِرْهَمْ. Except the amount of a gold coin or a silver coin. فَمَنْ لَقِيَهُ مِنْكُمْ, whoever meets him from amongst you, فَلْيَسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ, he should make dua, a maghfirat for you. وفي رواية له عن عمر رضي الله تعالى قال إني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن خير التابعين رجل يقال له أويس وله والدة وكان به بياض فمروه فليستغفر لكم. The best of the tabi'in is that man whose name is Uwais. He has got a mother, he has this white skin disease. command him that he should ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive you. In this hadith we understand that being so dutiful to his mother, this is the result of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him mustajabu da'wat. That great people like Sahaba asked him also to make dua for them. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to remain in good company and to seek the people of al-fadl and grace. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.